So the questions that you need to be asking, am I telling you to get your dating advice from Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock? No, but am I telling you that if you choose to go to them, you will get some great dating advice? Yes, 100%. The Proposal is one of my favorite movies, and today I'm going to unpack an episode called Dating Advice as Told by The Proposal. That episode is right here on the Jamie Grace podcast, and I'm super excited. I have 13 different things that we can learn from this ridiculous couple reinventing one of the age-old stories. Just two people not meant to be together who end up together, or, you know, whatever the quote is, I don't know. Good night and good welcome to the Jamie Grace podcast. Hi, I'm Jamie Grace. How are you? This show is all about bridging the gap between pop culture and mental health, having some of the conversations about how the things we love make an impact on who we are. If you are single, if you're a fan of The Proposal, if you're engaged, if you're married, any of those things above, I promise you, you will definitely find this episode beneficial. You'll enjoy it. And I'm excited to talk about this movie today with you guys. But before I do that, happy Saturday. Happy Small Business Saturday. Small Business Saturday was exactly 1 week ago, and I didn't say Happy Small Business Saturday last week, so I'm saying it this week. If you're watching this on Spotify, if you're watching this on YouTube, then you can see my sweatshirt. It is a small business sweatshirt. It's from Garden 24. They're like my favorite company ever. This is not a paid advertisement. The owner does just so happen to be my big sister, Morgan Harper Nichols. It's her company, but I love her designs so much. And I'm recording this episode late night. Like, it's 11:43 right now. I literally, Aaron and I, we put the baby to sleep. And then I like ran out. I was like, I gotta go to record a podcast. And I put the sweatshirt on. It's like, oh my gosh, it's just so comfortable and cozy. And I was like, whoa. I'm going to talk about Garden 24 on the show. But also, if you're watching this on YouTube and you're like, oh my gosh, like, how do I ever know which sister to support? Just buy my merch because it's right there. anywhere else, make sure you check out Garden 24. They're just really cool people. And I love the whole company. And sometimes I invite myself to their office just to go and hang out with my sister's staff because I love everybody so much. They're so cool. I don't want to tell that story. I was going to tell you guys something super off topic. But then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So random, because the rest of this podcast has not been random. what was I going to say? I'm always all over the place, but I had an extra amount of caffeine today, and I'm not going to say that I regret it, because that's a strong word. You can always, learn lessons from moments in life, but I definitely feel it. I'm not usually a caffeine drinker, and when I became a mom, and once our kid was like close to one and starting to move around, like crawl and walk and all this stuff, I was like, oh, I think caffeine's going to be a thing of mine. And I had a little extra caffeine today, and I can tell, I don't know about you, but we are going to jump into today's episode. So I love Sandra Bullock a whole lot, and she's actually like one of my favorite actresses, if not my all-time favorite actress. And so I was watching this movie. I've actually been like falling asleep to it for a couple nights, and I was supposed to do Dating Advice as Told by another movie with another actress whom I love, and I will do that episode another time. But this one was just fresh on my mind because as ridiculous as this movie is, as silly as it is, there are so many beautiful moments in it as well. I say this in almost every episode where I mention a movie. I do believe it's PG-13, so viewer discretion is advised. You got to make your own life choices. This movie also shows up on TV here and there for a bit more of a censored version. But this story is just one that kind of gets told here and there, and I don't mind it. I think it's a trope that has to get told here and there because you get to see all of these different and creative takes that people have on it, of just this couple that is pretending to be in love, and the stakes are, of course, really high because who knows what's going to happen. In this case, it's the guy's job, and it is the woman's like residency status, which, you know, that's a whole conversation on privilege in and of itself, but we're just going to talk about the proposal today. So this movie, it's about a pushy boss who forces her young assistant to marry her. That sounds so much creepier. Wow. When you read it out loud, in order to keep her visa status in the U.S. and avoid deportation to Canada. So Sandra Bullock plays Margaret, who is, I'd say more than a pushy boss. She's a horrible boss who has an assistant. His name's Andrew. I'm going to say, like, they use the word younger in the description. What, like a 10-year age gap? And they're both, like, full-on adults. This is not, you know, it's not a creepy movie. And it's basically, you know, she's risking having to go back to Canada because of, like, this whole situation with, like I said, that's a whole nother conversation on privilege in and of itself. But she doesn't want to have to do that. And so she kind of tricks her assistant, her friend, into marrying her. Not really tricks him, but just kind of, unfortunately, is kind of a power play at hand, if you will. And there, like I said, if we dig into the heaviness of this film, that's a whole nother episode. But one thing that I think is just really interesting is that you see all these moments where Andrew, played by Ryan Reynolds, is such a good human, and it kind of shows such a beautiful, just like, checklist, if you will, of just like stuff to be for a spouse or for a dating partner, if you will. I'm not even gonna say like things to look for or things to desire in a spouse or a dating partner. I'm gonna say things to be. Now, again, there's a whole power play here. He's just a really good assistant. His job is on the line, so that's also why he's just straight up being awesome. But a lot of this too is just stuff that I think we can look at this and go, is there some dating advice in this as well? And are there things that I can take away as someone that's in a relationship? And I think the answer is yes. So I'm going to share with you guys 13 things that we can take away from this movie. And ironically, I'm going to kick it off with something that has nothing to do with their relationship in and of itself. And that is to flirt with the barista. Okay, so I want to bring this up really quick. And then the rest of these are all about their relationship, Andrew and Margaret. But as far as like the barista in the beginning, you know, he ends up getting the barista's number like on his coffee cup or something. A lot of people sent me DMs, especially those like people that grew up in the church, people that still go to church, people asking me questions about flirting. And they're kind of being this like negative stigma around flirting that like if you flirt with someone, you have to marry them. Now, let's not take this to the extreme and be like, oh yeah, just flirt with anybody. Flirting's not that big of a deal. You can like, you know, be married and just flirt with anybody, whatever. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that a lot of times, especially for women that listen to this podcast, the DMs that y'all send me, the conversations that we have after my shows, it lends itself to think that flirting, it has been discouraged in a lot of the church cultures that you've been in and a lot of the Christian circles that you guys have been in. Guys, flirting is not a sin. Flirting is not bad. Flirting, not flirting is going to keep you single forever. So like it's a thing, right? And it's not something that you do with the goal of marrying someone. But it's also like it's okay to casually flirt with someone in a coffee shop. That's not weird. That's a thing that grownups do. And so I wanted to bring that up because it happens early in this movie. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'm seeing that this is a very important conversation to a lot of the listeners of the podcast. And I want to continue to bring this conversation up more because, it's not a big deal. It's fine. It's okay to offer a compliment or, you know, to say, you know, to maybe give someone your number, like, not just like, totally, you know, oh my gosh, you guys, like, be smart, stranger danger, if there's creepers out there. But like, flirt with the barista. It's okay. If they've got on a ring or they're not interested or they're uncomfortable, shut it down. But maybe there needs to be a whole episode on flirting. Let me know at the Jamie Grace podcast on Instagram or at Jamie Grace H on Instagram if I need to do a whole episode on flirting, because that might be beneficial in the near future. is know your guy, know your girl's Starbucks drink, know their Dutch Bros drink, know their Dunkin' Donuts drink, know their Tim Hortons drink. I think I just covered every coast. I don't know what else people drink wherever. If you're anywhere near me, I'm in Arizona, Dutch Bros is where it's at. But I'm from Georgia originally. What did I do in Georgia? Oh, Smoothie King, because I don't do coffee. So yeah, Smoothie King was my vibe. Know their order. Know their drink. That is one of the sweetest things that you can do. I know that because I'm like a semi-celebrity disguised as an influencer, I know that that sometimes people probably think all I'm doing is just, you know, inhaling lemon juice and eating kale salads, and actually those two things sound amazing. But I also love a good drive-through that does not at all involve a salad. And so there's something really attractive about, like, when my husband remembers a small detail about my order, or when he just orders for me. I know a lot of people don't like people to order for them. That's fine. Like, if you don't like that, then you don't like that. But just the step of just knowing your person's order, can be a really sweet thing. And we see this early on where Andrew takes it too far, where he literally orders the same drink as Margaret. Again, they're not dating at this point. They're just a boss and assistant. So he takes it a step too far where he literally orders the same drink as her. And in case her spills or his spills, then she still has a drink. That's just kind of too far, you know, power play thing. It's just weird. But knowing your person's order is really precious. And even if they get something different, you can at least say, hey, do you want your number two with the extra lettuce? So, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, like, you knew my order. Like, oh my goodness, do you love me? Yes, I do. Marry me tomorrow. Look, guys, I just solved all dating issues. Just run by that script and everything will be fine, I promise you. Okay, so number three, always back them up and ask questions later. So we're jumping into the part of the movie where Margaret is faced with her superiors in the office, and the whole situation of her needing to move back to Canada is brought up, and Andrew walks in the room and she essentially is like, oh, well, I'm actually engaged. I'm getting married to Andrew. So the whole citizenship thing is going to be figured out. Andrew, again, he's doing this because he is way too nice to his boss, probably needs to quit, and they probably don't need to have any type of connection for the future. For the sake of this movie, we're going to call it adorable. And so he literally stands there and he's like, yeah, we're getting married. Yeah. Or he might actually just be in total shock that he's silent. The reason why I bring this up is because this is actually a really beautiful thing in relationships, especially in marriage. There are going to be times where you might not fully agree with your spouse. You might not fully be on board with your spouse. And I'm in no way an expert in this area. This is just something I'm sharing about my own story and also things that other married people have shared with us that have been beneficial. But there may be a time where you kind of have to, like, go along with something. And then when you guys are not in front of other people, then you have to be like, hey, can you clarify? Can you explain this? And that's just a part of, like, backing up your people. I mean, we see that in platonic friendships as well. Now, if you're in front of your spouse and, you know, they're like, yeah, like, we're actually going to go rob a bank tomorrow and we're going to get $50 million. Like, you should definitely look at your spouse and be like, hey, I'm going to have to call police on you right now, you know? But in a lot of cases, like, this could be an example of just, like, I don't know, this is such a cliche, but, like, people are asking you guys to hang out and you're standing there in front of your spouse and your spouse is like, oh, actually, we've got a thing next Friday. You know, don't say, oh, no, that got canceled. We don't have to go to that. Maybe don't do that, you know? Just don't. Just maybe don't. You don't really know all the reasons why your spouse could be saying what they're saying. I'm not condoning lying or criminal activity. Just, again, back up your person, you know, and just make them, like, Aaron and I like to always say, I think I actually said this, like, two episodes ago, we just like to kind of remind each other, like, hey, like, we're a team. I like being in your team. I like supporting you. And so we act like teammates, and especially in front of other people. And then if we've got questions later, it's like, bro, what were you talking about? We have nowhere to be, because you back up your person. It's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful thing to do. So just just on the whole topic of being on a team with your person, right? Another thing, number four, make sacrifices for your person's family. So there is, I believe they call her Gammy. It's Andrew's grandmother's birthday. And again, all this stuff is done because of manipulation and lying and power play. But Margaret, Sandra Bullock's character, is like, oh, we're going to Gammy's birthday. And they go to Alaska for this whole thing, right? To celebrate Gammy's birthday. And the reason why, if we're looking at the beauty, if we're looking at the core of it, it's to support their person and to support her person's family. And sometimes you have to make sacrifices for your person's family, and you do that with a smile on your face, and you do that to have a good time. You know, Aaron and I have thankfully been able to, like, it was actually pretty easy for us when it came to splitting up holidays, but it still is a little bit of grievance there for each of us of, like, learning how to, you know, merge traditions, which means sacrificing some of our own preferred traditions that we had when we were single. And that's not like a big surprise. That's not like a big significant amount of marriage advice or a big secret into our marriage. You know, that's just, that's not some like marriage wisdom that we've gained. It's just a natural part of merging two families together, right? Merging two different people. And even before you officially get married, I mean, these things come into play. You know, you start talking about traditions that you have with vacations, and where do you go if you celebrate Thanksgiving? Where do you go when you celebrate Christmas? And, you know, where do you spend your summers and all these things? You have to start kind of, you know, putting these things in mind. That's not the phrase I'm looking for. Taking these things into consideration when it comes to your families. And so I like that Margaret goes to celebrate Gammy's birthday. I think that's really sweet. Number five, I've got, you know, when they go to Alaska to celebrate, she finds out some secrets and some surprises about him. And this is just a trope that we saw this in Crazy Rich Asians. It's in a lot of other films as well. But number five, tell your person if you're rich. It's not a cute secret. It's not a cute surprise. If I all of a sudden found out right now in this moment that Aaron's just been sitting on a couple million dollars, I wouldn't think that was cute. Hiding money in any capacity is not cool. The movie Jumping the Broom, really cool movie. But there's a scene at the end where there's like a secret fund that kind of saves the day with the couple because they have been really struggling financially, and the husband is like kind of happy about it. And I'm just like, but that means that your wife was hiding money from you. Like, I don't get that at all. Money is so weird, and it can make things difficult. And I cannot think, like, I mean, if there's like a marriage or a couple that's never had an awkward conversation about money, then they don't exist. It's a thing, right? And so we've all gone through it. But one thing that I can definitely say, at least up until this moment, is that my husband's not like a millionaire, a secret millionaire. And I would... I'm just so happy that he's not. Like, it sounds like it'd be fun. It sounds like, ooh, yay, secret millionaire money. Like, no, money's not so great that it's worth a secret. Nothing is that great. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that in there. There's some good dating advice. Thank you, Ryan Reynolds, for helping us figure out that we should not secretly keep money from people. Like, no, it's just so weird. So we're going to talk about defending for these next, like, three, okay? So, or next two. Well, next, like, one and a half. Okay, so number six. Defend your person to your family, even if you're working toward an understanding. So Andrew doesn't really care about, he doesn't prefer, rather, the way Margaret handles business. He's in his job, I mean, probably because of some, like, you know, again, like, manipulation, but he's also in his job because he really wants to be editor, because he's trying to just kind of suck it up and get, you know, climb to the top a little bit professionally, but he doesn't support a lot of the ways that Margaret handles business. He doesn't really like her as a person at all, and that's very clear. But what he also doesn't allow is for his dad to attack Margaret. to attack Margaret's character, even though, if I'm not mistaken, he's made complaints about her to his family in the past, which that's a messy topic for another day. But when his dad is talking about Margaret in a negative way, when his dad even kind of alludes to like, oh, you're sleeping your way to the top, that kind of thing, like he shuts it down. And that's something that's really important, of just knowing that when you're in a relationship with someone, when you're dating someone, when you're, you know, becoming more serious, and especially if you're talking about long term, you're talking about marriage, you got to be able to defend your person to your family, even if you have the same issues with your family, because, or with that person, because the last thing you want is like your spouse's flaws to have been exposed to your family, which is a natural thing to happen at some point. Like, say they, your spouse just has like a bad attitude problem when they're tired. And so, you know, one Christmas weekend, they get a bad attitude with somebody in your family because they're tired. Like, these are all natural human things that happen. But it's not your job to then go sit with your grandma and talk about how they've got a bad attitude. That's not how teamwork works, right? That's not how family works. That's not how love works. And so even if the whole bad attitude when tired thing is something that you don't like, that you still want them to make adjustments about, that you're holding them accountable for because they asked you to, whatever, you still defend them to your family. And Ryan Reynolds does it so well. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I bet you and Blake are just like killing it. So it makes my heart really happy. But then also slash defend your relative to your family. So even when you're not the one in the dating relationship, the mom plays such a crucial role in this film of letting the dad know what's up when it comes to Margaret now becoming a part of their family. And she has no shame in defending Margaret to her husband. And I think they have a conversation when Margaret and the dog are fussing in the kitchen. The husband and wife, the mom and dad, they have a really good example, like conversation wise of like what marriage looks like, of just like, nah, like the way like you're in, bah, 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 it's affecting me and him and our relationship and our family dynamic. And it's a really good example of like how to call somebody out on that. So I really appreciated that. Number seven, this is the last one about defending. Number seven, defend your person to their family if needed and when appropriate. A couple episodes ago, or it may have been last episode actually, it was like a team single pep talk. And it was all about how like, you don't always just want to like, you know, clap back at people all the time. You want to figure out the time and place. Sometimes you just say, God bless you and get on a plane and go away. But there are also times to call someone out on something, and that does happen in this movie as well, when Margaret is kind of, even some moments, I believe, to his dad, just kind of, you know, setting it straight and setting the story straight. I don't think it's a very long dialogue, but I know there are a couple of moments where she just kind of makes it known the kind of person that he is. And, you know, that's something that is again, it can be very necessary. From, I'm not a marriage guru by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm married, and also I have a lot of friends who are married, and you know, these are just personal experiences and stories of just like, just be on your person's team. They're your person, so let them be your person and actively be their person, because like, that's what love does, man. that's just kind of how it works. The other day, my brother-in-law was asking for my help in buying a gift for my sister, and he jokingly called me head elf. Except it wasn't totally a joke. I loved gift giving and list curating, but y'all, this year, head elf responsibilities just might be too much. And the best way to make a gift giving easier is to try Elfster. It's the number one secret Santa app in the world. And with Elfster, you can create a free gift giving exchange by setting the date, the budget, and letting Elfster take care of all the busy work. Add gifts to your wish list from all the brands you love, like Amazon, Etsy, Sephora, and more. And when you share your wish list with your family and friends, you can make sure that everybody gets a gift that they really want. So go to elfster.com or download the Elfster app today.
And of course, thank you, Elfster, for sponsoring the Jamie Grace podcast. Hey friends, so as many of you all know, I have anxiety. I have a diagnosis, generalized anxiety disorder, and I'm also a millennial surviving a pandemic, and I deal with everyday stress. People often ask me how I manage my anxiety on a daily basis, and one of the most beneficial things for me has been counseling, which is why I wanted to take a quick break to tell you about one of the sponsors of the Jamie Grace podcast, Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling provides four different ways you can talk to your therapist: video chats, messaging, live messaging, and phone calls. So if you're struggling with anxiety, loneliness, frustration, or if you're trying to make a big life decision about school, work, friendships, relationships, you should definitely give Faithful Counseling a try. If you go to faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace, you'll get 10% off of your first month. That link is also in the show notes, but again, it's faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace. And now, back to the show.
I like to include music that I can dance to in like ad breaks, but if you are watching this, then you're like, well, Jamie, you can't dance. So, sorry to myself, just kidding, because I still like to dance. Okay, so these next few, they all kind of run together. I mean, it's numbers 7, 8, 9, but they all kind of run in this whole, like they're common, what is that claw? They're common things that happen when visiting family back home, especially in the season of engagement. Okay, so number 8, don't let your family make you kiss as a toast. Like if you and your person, y'all are just really into PDA and like y'all think kissing for a toast is super cute. And some people, like, I'm not trying to make you sound like you're a creeper, because I don't think you are. Some people really do think that's super cute. Like a little like, oh my goodness, we kissed. It was a toast. Then do that. Like, I'm not trying to diss you at all. I hope you genuinely hear that, because I know I'm sarcastic a lot. I'm not dissing you. But I am saying that not everybody wants to do that. And like, maybe talk with your fiance first and be like, hey, if my family tries to like make us kiss at this engagement party, like, we should talk about that first. So a lot of you guys know that, you know, I had a very public wedding, and then we had a very private reception with like family and friends. And the reception we were at for all of 7 to 14 minutes. I don't know, maybe an hour. I don't know. We took pictures for a while, but the actual, like, in the building at the reception, we sat at the table enough for my mom to get a picture, and then I was ready to go. I didn't want people getting pictures of us, like, sharing a cake together. I didn't want people to be like, kiss, kiss. Like, go kiss somebody. Stop cheering me on and telling me what to do. I'm a grown up. Like, just, so if that's your thing, I'm not at all calling you out, but I am saying that that's like a common thing that people try to do. It's just like at receptions and all this stuff. It's just like, oh, like, let's tell them to kiss. Like, let's tell them to like smack your butt, like all this stuff. Just like, you don't tell me to do anything. I'm a grown up. So check with your person first and be like, yo, are you going to be into that kind of thing? And if they're not, then don't let your family bully you into that. Like, it clearly happens in this movie and it gets super awkward. So that's number 8. But then number 9 is, again, kind of mixing in with the same thing, is shut down like any kind of like bachelorette, bachelor party stuff, any other kind of traditions or whatever that your family, that your culture might be a part of, that your person, your dating partner, your fiance, that they're not interested in, that they're not comfortable with. Aaron and I didn't really have to deal with this much because, I mean, everybody in the whole planning process was, it was just very much one of those like, hey, we want to do this, we want to do that. And everybody was like, okay. There wasn't a lot of pushback, thankfully. But yeah, like, I mean, you can see in the movie that Sandra Bullock's character just doesn't want to do the whole bachelorette thing. There's just a lot that she's uncomfortable with. A lot of it is because, you know, you can kind of push the argument of like, oh, she's just not used to being loved, so that's why she's being awkward about it. You can also, of course, push the argument of like, it's a fake engagement, so that's why she's not interested. But I think some of it too, she just isn't interested in that stuff. And so you shouldn't have to, you know, do that if you don't want to. I remember when I got engaged, my maid of honor, I mean, I told her, I was like, I didn't even know how to plan a bachelorette party. I had never really been to one before. I had been invited to many, and I had seen like videos on people's Instagram stories afterward and been grateful that I didn't attend because it just wasn't my style. It wasn't my vibe. And so my maid of honor ended up planning this a onesie-themed bachelorette party with all these fun games. And yeah, there was like, you know, some, I'm not saying that it was just all unicorn onesies. Like there were some games that were mature in nature that, you know, were very thematic, is that the right word? Very much centered around the fact that I was, you know, about to be a married woman, if you will. So they were still, it was still a bachelorette party, but it was like so chill and so still respectful of the fact that like they were not the people that I was marrying. Does that make sense? And so I just, I have such a I don't know, just like a soft spot in my heart for young women, especially that feel like that don't want to do the traditional based on certain cultures, that don't want to do these traditional celebrations, that feel pressured into doing them just because society says they have to, or just because their maid of honor wants them to, or because their mother-in-law or their sisters-in-law or their sisters or their mother are trying to make them do it. And that just kind of makes me so sad because I just had such privilege when it came to everything I wanted to do and didn't want to do. And in that, like all my friends and family were so supportive. And so if you're listening to this and you're getting engaged or you're about to get married, or if you're a maid of honor, if you are a bridesmaid, you know, just try to be mindful of what your friend wants, what the bride wants, what the person, you know, what your person wants. Just try to be mindful of that. Because the last thing you want to do is make somebody feel uncomfortable, especially based off of like what they want, what their desires are. So I don't know. I get really sensitive about that, but I'm not like apologetic that I get sensitive about it. It's just, it is what it is. And then number 10, again, kind of mixing in with this, because I know this is just kind of a cultural thing a lot of times, especially with like smaller towns and stuff. Everybody just kind of gets together, like all the people, you're still friends with these people, blah, blah, blah. Number 10 is leave your exes out of it. Leave them out of this. Leave them out of it. I know some people are like, oh, I'm still friends with my ex from... Okay, well, then that's between you and your therapist. But Andrew's ex is all up in this movie. Go home. Sit down. Nobody invited you. And if they did, they shouldn't have. Go away. Like, oh, I don't get it. I don't get it. And again... I understand that I'm speaking as a person that does not have an ex. So I understand, like, people be like, Jamie, you dated one person for 30 seconds and then you married him. Shut up. Like, I get it. I get that people can say that about me. Say what you will and won't and way and may. Just leave your ex at home. And by home, I mean their home. Where they live. Bye. Oh my goodness. Oh, I just played the wrong intro. Okay. I didn't play the wrong intro. I just accidentally played my intro to the show. Anyways, so this is a live show, guys. So the next one that I'm gonna say, number 11. This one actually comes from my favorite scene of this movie. It's when they're on the boat and they're on the ocean and Andrew is just circling around the bend. He's coming around the mountain when he comes and he's just driving around. And then Sandra Bullock, she's in that turtleneck and she just flings out the boat. And she is just gone. She's gone. And he circles back around and he gets her and he puts her back in the boat. He's shaking her, just giving her warm and rubbing her arms all the time. My favorite thing, I'm getting so tired. One of my favorite things is, number 11 is cover them with blankets, etc. if they almost die in the middle of the ocean. Nothing says romantic comedy better than like an actual hero moment than like saving their life when they almost die in the middle of the ocean. It's beautiful. And it makes me so happy. And he just puts her in the blanket. And he's like, He's like trying to keep her warm, all the body heat. Oh my gosh, it's so sweet. It's so beautiful. So so I love that a whole lot. And the episode, that scene makes me really happy. And so if they're almost dead in the middle of the ocean, definitely save them and wrap them up in a blanket. Also, number 12, speaking of dead, it is okay to play dead, but only if it's for love and only if it's absolutely necessary and only if it's very temporary. So no, like, elongated faking your death kind of thing. But at the end of this movie, you know, Gammy kind of, like, well, I just spoiled it if you haven't seen it, but Gammy plays dead to save the day. Remember? I just pulled a Dora and was, like, waiting for you to answer. So, like, Gammy, like, plays dead, and she's like, well, actually, she's not saying that because she's not saying anything. And, she just kind of, like, saves the day and gets them to, like, gets him on the plane and all that kind of thing. And it just makes me so happy because he saves the day. And Gammy saved the day. So it's okay to play. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting tired. Okay, last one. Last one, number 13. This is actually, maybe this is my favorite moment. I have three favorite scenes in this movie. Another one is when they're helping her with a wedding dress and she just starts getting emotional about how she's, like, never had, like, a family before and all this kind of thing. Oh my gosh. Which is right before the boat scene, so it all kind of runs together. My ultimate favorite scene in this movie is the very end, where he's, like, running through the office. He's trying to go back and find his true love, all this stuff. And he's running, and he's running. There's not that much running. But he gets there, and he's, like, saying all this stuff. And he's, like, oh my gosh. I think I actually just fell asleep in the middle of talking. Anyways, he says the whole thing. I'm a terrible storyteller. I think I'm crashing. Oh, that's what's happening. Oh, the caffeine. The caffeine is slowly dripping away. He says something like, and then he says, so marry me so I can date you. What? So number 13, my favorite one at the end, is forever date your spouse. Forever date your spouse. I love that because, of course, again, it's for another reason that he's saying marry me so I can date you, but it's just this kind of concept of just, like, when I marry you, we're still going to be dating. Literally right now, and this is so embarrassing, another reason why I'm kind of getting flustered is because my husband's texting me in the middle of me trying to record this, and I still kind of get giddy when he texts me. Unless it's like, you know, unless he's texting me something like, hey, babe, you know, what time is Bella's gymnastics tomorrow? And I'm like, bro, I told you 14 times. But, sorry. TMI. But sometimes he texts me the same way that we did when we were just dating. And it's so sweet. Or he'll randomly bring me something home from, like, Target or, like, the gas station. He'll stop by the gas station to get gas for the car. And he'll bring me, like, a chapstick, and he's like, oh, I know you all like chapstick. It's like, of course, I could pull the wife thing, the stereotypical wife thing, and be like, oh, you saying my lips is chapped, which he's not. He's just wanted to bring me something because it was pink, and so made him think of me. And that's the kind of way that a lot of people, you know, see dating relationships, as just this cute little thing, just constant, like, not constant, but just frequent or often, you know, going out on dates, but also just doing these small little things to love on your person and support them and make them smile. And marriage should still be that. It should be a continuation of that, right? And so, it's just a really special and beautiful thing. And I love this movie. I love when he says, so Margaret, which now I feel like her name was Meredith, but I'm pretty sure it's Margaret. It's like, so Margaret, marry me so I can date you. And it's just really great. And that, the way I just said it, made him sound like an actual creeper. But it's really sweet. And it made me really happy. So I hope that you guys enjoyed these 13 different elements of dating advice. As to by the proposal. What a beautiful movie. Such beautiful advice, eh? I sound so Canadian. I didn't even think about the fact, as I was recording this, that Ryan Reynolds is Canadian. So there's a random sentence for everyone to just ponder on. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I really enjoyed getting to do this episode today. If you enjoyed listening to it, make sure you connect with me on Instagram at the Jamie Grays Podcast. We just started this Instagram in the last couple of weeks, so it's super green, super new, but it's been really fun interacting with you guys there. I've been doing a series called Movie Night based on your mood. So whatever mood you're in, you can comment, and then I take those comments, make it into a post, and tell you what movies you should watch based off of your mood. Lately, I've been watching, well, the most recent recommendations we did, Are We There Yet? I've got Cadet Kelly coming up, which I just mentioned it because just watch it. But hopefully it'll also connect with you guys if you're feeling that kind of vibe soon. Also, You Again with Kristen Bell. Oh, such a good movie. So make sure you guys head on over to the Jamie Grays Podcast over on Instagram, because I would love to connect with you guys there. I also want to say before I go, just thank you so much to my Patreon community. I could not do this podcast without you guys over at patreon.com/Jamie Grays. For either $3 or $7 a month, you can sponsor the show. All the music you hear in the show is produced by me, and the visuals that you're seeing, a lot of it is either produced by me or I was a creative director for it. And so thank you guys so much, because like literally I could not make my music or my podcast without my Patreon community. Today I want to say thank you to Esty, as well as Paul and Tara, Andrea, Janelle, and Grace, who's also from Arizona. I didn't know that, looking at the list right here. So wanted to say thank you to those awesome humans for being a part of the Patreon community. It really does mean so much to me. I was about to say it means so much to you guys, and that was just going to come out really weird. If it does mean a lot to you guys, then thank you so much. But honestly, it means a lot to me that you guys support the show so that I can keep doing this. Did you guys watch Annie, the new one that just came out? Did you guys watch High School Musical 4? You can check my Insta story if you want to know more about that, because it's out. It's really good, and so hopefully you guys all check it out. I'll see you on Instagram. I'll see you in the comments. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. I will talk to you guys soon. Okay, bye.